Hey, everybody, and welcome to Viewing Angles. It's the only movie podcast. You know it. My name's Dan Leo, and with me, as always,
it's Robert Mechie. We're going to be making so many puns in this episode. It's the easiest one.
We got a good episode coming up for you guys. We're going to be reviewing It Chapter 2, the long, medium-awaited sequel to...
I think it's pretty highly anticipated. I think medium-awaited is a good way to phrase it.
To the highest-grossing horror movie of all time.
Yes.
Yeah, the second and final chapter, question mark?
It's maybe not, well, we're getting a prequel, like...
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
This didn't make it... Well, we'll get into the box office a little bit later, but I'd be interested to see how this success affects the rest of the King universe. Like, are they going to make more? This is also a long movie, but we'll get into all of this in a hot second. But first, we're going to talk about the box office and then get into the Venice Film Festival reactions. Venice Film Festival happened in Venice, and a lot of movies premiered there, and we've got a lot of dispatches from the industry that we got to go through. So coming up first, we got It Chapter 2, made $91 million. Its first weekend, which is good, but significantly under the 4-day total for the first movie. The first movie made $132 million. So that's...
Wow.
Yeah. That what is like 36 million difference.
What was its international opening, though?
For It or for...
For both. I wonder how they compare internationally.
Okay. That's a good question. And I don't have that readily available right now, but I would guarantee that it's probably lower. Like,
yeah,
just because I think the reason this movie did a little bit like less than, not a little bit, like a sizable chunk, probably like 75% of what the first one did, is because of its length, mostly because it just can be shown less times.
Yeah, and I think because it has that baggage of needing to see It Chapter 1.
Oh, yeah. I see. What you'd think that, like, if so many people saw, it should at least be as strong an opening as the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been 2 years, I guess.
Yeah. I think my thinking is maybe all the people that saw the first It just didn't like it. They're like, yeah, I have no reason to go back to see It Chapter 2. They just weren't fans of Pennywise.
Yeah, and they did
they
kind
don't
of
like
rap.
Seeing. Yeah.
They maybe thought it was going to be way more terrifying than it actually was.
Yeah. Honestly, like, yeah, these two films are really not that scary.
No, they're a lot funnier. They're more dramas with horror elements.
Yeah, they feel like adventure movies.
Yeah, yeah.
This one especially, I think. But we can get to that when we get to the spoiler-filled review of It Chapter 2.
Coming up at you. But and then the next two movies are Angel Has Fallen and Good Boys, both getting around 5 million. Nothing really to say here.
It owned the box office this weekend.
Oh, it owned, baby. Yeah, it made a lot of money. $91 million for an R-rated horror movie
film. Yeah,
the weekend after Labor Day. That's pretty good.
That's like almost comic book level numbers. Like,
oh, definitely.
Deadpool or Logan, I think both of those films made more. I think they both broke 100 million opening weekend. But it's still kind of amazing that we have a Stephen King adaptation and, you know, like you said, an R-rated horror film opening this wide.
Yeah, a almost 3 hour long horror movie opening at $91 million. That's pretty crazy.
Long movies are back. Zack Snyder is rejoicing.
Yeah, he was the first one to make a long movie.
Exactly.
They're going to show Lawrence Arabia at the Regal by me, so it's really coming together.
How long is this? Maybe it's like, what, 3 hours, 40 minutes or something?
No, I think it's like a solid 4 hours.
Is it really? Fuck.
Yeah, it's got a... Damn. I've never actually seen it, which is heresy.
Yeah, because it's 4 hours.
Yeah, it is. Okay, yeah. So it's 220 minutes.
Yeah. Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's a long... I mean, but that it has an intermission, so... There's
Yeah.
I would go, I mean, but that's just like, if you go at 6 o'clock to see a movie, it's like, all right, you'll get done at 10.
Yeah, that's not bad. Like, I mean, honestly, I can't really complain because I saw when the first Avengers came out, I spent like 14 hours in a theater watching all of the Marvel movies before the Avengers premiere. So
yeah, that's like a movie marathon, though, too. So it's like, you're seeing different things. It's this is like one continuous story. But I guess if you're going to binge watch
Endgame.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, like, and people binge watch TV shows all the time. So it's like, oh, I watched six like episodes of an hour long show like in one day. That's 6 hours. That's longer than any of this stuff.
That's in your house, though. You can take breaks.
Yeah, exactly. You can pet your dog. Can pause.
Yeah.
Pet your dog, etc. All right. So coming out of the box office and into the Venice Film Reactions, the big news is that Joker, the Todd Phillips, Joaquin Phoenix send up of the historic DC villain, mm-hmm. won the Golden Lion, the top prize at Venice, which is pretty bananas. Because we were all nobody knew what this movie was going to be like, if it was going to be good, if it was going to be bad. Apparently, it's really good.
Yeah, apparently it's fantastic. Like, and I think the what movies won? It was Roma last year that won the Golden Lion, and then The Shape of Water, which won the Golden Lion the year before. So this is a prestige movie now.
Yeah, it is. It's, and Joaquin Phoenix is getting Oscar buzz.
Yeah.
It's very interesting things coming out of it.
This will probably get a Best Picture nomination at the Oscars, I think.
I think it could. I think it's probably in the top 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see. I wonder what the pitch of this movie is. It must be completely divorced from like the comic book trappings, right?
Yeah. Like the Batman mythos.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I wonder how that's going to shape how audiences are going to react to it. I know I'm pretty excited for it, but still kind of cautiously optimistic. Joaquin Phoenix is supposed to be amazing in the movie. So,
yeah, I'm actually quick aside, but out of curiosity, I watched The Hangover Part 3 for the first time a couple nights ago.
Okay.
And one, that movie's not good.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't come here
breaking
to defend
news.
It, but I do think that as I was watching this movie, I'm like, maybe Todd Phillips is the perfect person to direct a Joker movie, because there's some legitimate darkness in the Hangover series.
Especially in the third part. Alcoholism and drug addiction.
Sure. But the first one is played for laughs.
Funny.
The third one. Yeah. And the third one, you actually get to see like John Goodman executing people.
Oh,
and I'm like,
geez.
Oh, is this is still like the Hangover comedy? Like, this is still the movie where Zach Galifianakis like is carrying around a stripper's baby for like jokes in the first one. And you have what's his name? Leslie Chang. Like,
yeah,
the crazy Asian man.
Ken Jeong.
Yes.
Did you just call him Leslie Chang?
Isn't that Leslie? Leslie Chow. That's his character's name in the movie.
Oh,
Leslie
okay.
Chow.
I thought you were just like making up some very weird Asian name for someone to have.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell me that's his name and I'd believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to go check it up. So,
yeah.
Outside the Joker, we've got the new Rian Johnson movie, Knives Out, the Agatha Christie update starring a bunch of people.
So many people.
It's Clue. But the title is Knives Out. That's what it basically sounds like. And I'm here for it. And it's supposed to be really good. I'm so happy.
Yeah, this movie is supposed to be fantastic. I can't wait. The cast is stacked. And I do wonder, though, like what did Rian Johnson do with this script that makes it so unique from other like whodunit capers? Because it's got to be something. I don't think this film is just like a really good whodunit.
I bet it is. I bet it is like that. It's probably pulpier, maybe.
Yeah.
Got a little bit more pizzazz. But I'm just kind of here for it. I like those types of movies, and it's good. Just like a fun genre flick to get.
Yeah.
It's like,
I just
it's a whodunit.
I can't wait to see the dialogue. My favorite part about any of Rian Johnson's scripts is the rapid fire dialogue between these characters. Like,
did he write the script?
I believe so. I think he wrote and directed it. I think he's done that for all of his films, because I know he wrote The Last Jedi too.
It is a screenplay. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he wrote Brick, which I think is the best example of his writing abilities. I think Brick is fantastic. And I hope that these characters have a similar dialogue exchanges.
Oh yeah, I bet we can expect all the good stuff. But I'm just very excited for that. The medium budget. Is this an R-rated movie? R-rated caper with a stacked cast. Give it to me.
Did you ever see Murder on the Orient Express?
I've seen parts of it.
Oh, yeah. You never saw the whole thing?
No, yeah. I never figured out who did it.
Ooh, you should just watch that movie. I feel like you would like that if you're into this genre.
Yeah, I mean, it was generally good. Like, when I was watching, I'm like, oh, I'm into this to a certain extent.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think everybody played their part really well. I love Kenneth Branagh.
I love his mustache, too. That's really what that movie's all about.
It's ungodly good.
Yeah. So, and the two next movies are the ones that I'm most interested in.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Jojo Rabbit, the Taika Waititi Hitler satire spoof movie about a Hitler youth child who has his imaginary friend is Taika Waititi dressed up as Hitler.
Yeah. That's like, great.
Yeah, the imaginary friend is Hitler. It's just played by a Maori Jew, which is fun. And we were getting like a lot of weird reactions prior to this movie being revealed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was people at Disney who were uncomfortable by it. Some people saying there's, you know, Oscar buzz around it. And the reactions coming out of the festival are pretty mixed. I hear that audiences love it and the critics were much more divided on it. A lot of people feeling weird about it.
Honestly, I don't know
what to say.
I think audiences are going to enjoy this. I think Taika Waititi has his sense of humor, I think, appeals to a very broad audience. And I don't think that changes in this film. Honestly, I think a lot of critics are upset because Scarlett Johansson is in this movie.
Yeah, they hate Scarlett Johansson for talking about things.
Hell yeah. But one of the criticisms I've also been reading, too, is that, like, you know, it uses this very inflammatory and pointed setting. And just like the whole idea of it, I think, is very politically charged. And critics are saying that it doesn't do enough to, like, attack Nazism with what it has, what it's working with. And that feels kind of weird to me. Like, again, I'm not going to pass judgment until I've seen this movie.
Right.
But it seems like a very odd criticism to be like, oh, yeah, it didn't downplay or it didn't put down the Nazism enough.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm very interested to see it. The mixed reactions was something that I would have expected before I heard anything about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I first heard that that he was making this movie, I was kind of like, oh, that sounds interesting. How will this work? And then I heard so much positive buzz going on. Like early, I was like, oh, this is very interesting. And the trailer started coming out and we started getting more information. I was very keyed into it. And then now it's kind of back to square one of like, take your expectations and bring them down. But I think this seems like a movie geared towards my sense of humor, my sensibilities.
Yeah.
I obviously can't judge it until I've seen it, but I'm still reasonably excited, but much more sedated now.
Yeah.
Much more in an even keel, which is better, honestly.
Yeah. Honestly, I kind of like, though, I'm happy when movies are more polarizing, especially out of film festivals. That kind of builds my hype for it.
Yeah.
And also just knowing that a lot of people that I follow, like a lot of film Twitter that I follow, that I know that I share similar tastes with, came out of this film elated. So I'm still pretty hyped for this.
Yeah. Very, very hyped. Very excited to see what he does with it. And I just like comedies, just a really out there. This is such an out there movie.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that they got funding. And even if it fails, how often do we get to go to the movies and see something to be like, wow, they really went for something.
Yeah.
they really went full guns blazing on the Hitler parody. And it was OK. Like, sure. Now, the next movie is probably the one that I'm most interested in.
Very much so.
Uncut Gems, starring Adam Sandler. It's the Safdie brothers follow-up to one of my favorite movies that I saw, not last year, 2 years ago?
I think, 2017.
Yeah.
Good Time.
Good Time, yeah, Good Time. It's amazing. I'm pretty sure it's on Amazon Prime.
Yep, that's how I watched
really
it.
A star role. It's like a really star turn from Robert Pattinson. Like insane. Like there was... If you need proof that Robert Pattinson could probably do anything, just watch The Lost City of Z and then watch Good Time in that order. Because once you see, actually probably watch Good Time first, get that adrenaline pumping and then settle in for a quieter.
Cool down.
Cool down with some,
and then
some
fuck
South
it all
American
up with
ruins.
High Life, scar yourself forever.
Still have not seen it. Is it on Amazon Prime yet?
I do not know. I watched it on a Plex.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. I've heard of it. Plex. Very fancy. So apparently this movie is amazing. I have heard that it holds up to Good Time, if not surpassing it in quality. Yeah,
same. Which is, that's a, Good Time sets a pretty high bar to begin with.
Yeah, and considering we only have like one still image of Adam Sandler, like for this movie.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what it's about.
All of the reporting outlets are using it, which I find hilarious.
Oh, but, yeah. If you search Uncut Gems, it is just the same picture like across everything.
I'm very curious to see just like what the marketing of this movie ends up being like, because, you know, the fact it is Adam Sandler. And I wonder if they're going to go for like the traditional Adam Sandler crowd at all. Be like, hey, this guy that you love that's in all these dumbass comedies is doing like a real movie. You should come watch it. Or if they're just going to forego it and go for like the A24 crowd.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be a little bit of everything. It would be very interesting to see the cinema scores if they really push the Adam Sandler vibe.
Oh, because, yeah. This movie's going to get a terrible cinema score because you know all these Adam Sandler fans are going to go out and see it and be like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah,
I didn't laugh once.
But there's another thing that you got some very interesting people in this movie. The Weeknd is in this movie. Kevin Garnett is in this movie.
What?
Idina Menzel is in this movie.
This is like, news to me.
Yeah, very, very weird. It doesn't come out until December 13th, so we have a little bit of time to wait.
Yeah, but what a Christmas gift, though.
What a Christmas gift. I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this compete with Star Wars.
It's going to be a pact. I was, you know, the summer has been kind of shitty for movies, I'll say.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
It's even, you know, we've even had this podcast where every other week we can be like, there's nothing really I want to see. And we both really like seeing movies. So for that to be said is a big deal. And I think right now it's about to turn up. I think we're about to get a steady stream of high quality movies. We've got Hustlers coming out next week, which is what we're going to see in review. Mm-hmm. We've got Ad Astra the next week.
Oh, and then can't wait.
We've got a Joker like a week or two after, Lucy in the Sky as well. Gemini Man, which I don't know about that, but still.
Oh, dude, I'm so excited for Gemini Man.
Gemini Man will be very, very weird, and I'm ready for it.
I'm just very happy that I finally have a subscription service. Like, I was so jealous that you had your Regal plan go whenever you wanted. But I think, to your point, I really felt it. Like, because I've had this, like, Draft House subscription for a couple weeks now.
How's it been? Yeah.
I mean, it's good. I used it to go see It, and it's super easy to use. I can reserve my tickets like 7 days in advance. But every time I look at it, I'm like, wow, I could see this movie for free. I could see any movie for free. There's nothing I want to see right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's the ultimate test. Like, I might see The Goldfinch, even though I've heard that it's pretty bad.
Same.
Just because I can see it for basically free. And I have, you know, I've seen four movies so far. So I only need to see 18 more movies in order to justify the expense of this thing.
Yeah.
But I am definitely going to end up doing that. It's fun. It brings back going to the movies. Just like I can see anything that I want and have that experience for.
Brings back that movie pass feeling.
That movie pass feeling where you're just like, I'll see everything, man.
Yeah. I don't give a shit. I'll see like I'm just trying to think of the worst movie. Oh, it's probably the Happy Time Murders. The worst movie my subscription, my MoviePass subscription.
I'm trying to think. I'd have to maybe look back. My MoviePass account is probably way gone.
Yeah, they scrubbed all that shit.
Yeah, but I'd like to go back and see, like, what did I see with this thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, check out that sweet burp. Do you have to pay for a year with the Alamo Drafthouse one?
No, I just pay $20 a month.
Oh, okay. So it's not like Regal where it's like, hey, put up a commitment to
get the unlimited. Oh, is that what Regal's plan is?
Yeah. Well, that's what I had to pay like $250 basically.
Wow.
For the whole year.
That's deep.
I mean, I'm going to make it like easily. They're going to go out of business because of me.
Yeah. And that's the thing with the Draft House is like, you know, a normal Draft House ticket is like $13 just for the ticket. Mm-hmm. So I see two movies a month. Oh, really? Wow, Regal. I didn't realize Regal had gotten that expensive.
Yeah, well, it's like between like 11 and 13. I mean, taxes in Chicago are much higher than I assume in Austin.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, so I see two movies a month. I'm getting my money's worth. And also, like, they make their money on the food. Like, that's where the margins are.
Yeah.
So.
Easy. All right. Now that we're done talking about our respective subscription services,
now that we're done,
which you should
flexing.
Get on.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're micro-influencers for subscription services for movies. Yeah. Let's get into the film of the week. It, Chapter 2. Pennywise is back. It's been 27 years. Mm-hmm. The losers are all in different good places. They're all pretty successful. They have their own businesses. They have significant others in most cases. And they're doing pretty well. But a call in the middle of the day for some people, in the middle of the night for others, brings them back to Derry to face the clown again. Pennywise is killing again.
Mm-hmm.
There's some good things. There are some bad things about this movie.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. A majority of it, and especially considering the fact that it's a 3-hour long movie, it didn't feel that long.
It did not. It felt pretty easy breezy. I think at one time I checked my watch and I was like, oh cool, it's been like an hour, like 40, this is going along. I'm like, wait a second, there's a whole nother hour of this movie.
Yeah, honestly, I think let's get into the pacing of this movie real, because I think that's one of the big problems with it. And for me, I think that the entire first act dragged pretty hard.
Them all getting together.
Yeah. And as I was sitting there and watching them build to everything before, like, they get back together and before they encounter Pennywise again, I was getting kind of nervous. I'm like, oh, is it going to feel like this slow the entire movie? Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it doesn't. As soon as the losers are all together and, like, you have, like, I think the chemistry of all the adult actors is pretty great. I don't know if it's as good as the child actors. But
there's definitely some weaker members of the cast. You can tell they really pushed for, you know, you got James McAvoy as Bill Denborough. You got Jessica Chastain as Beverly Marsh, and then Bill Hader as Richie Tozier. And then you got some less notable. You got Isaiah Mustafa, who is the Old Spice guy, plays Mike Hanlon.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Is this weird for you?
What? That is weird for me. I had no idea.
Yeah, you've got Jay Ryan, who I don't even know who the fuck that is, but he's playing Ben. He's playing Hot Ben. Yeah, he's playing Hot Ben. And then you've got what's this other guy's name? Is it Jay? It's James Ransone. He plays Eddie Kasprak.
Yeah, shout out to James Ransone because
Ransom.
What a performance! Like, I thought Bill Hader was going to steal the show. This guy nails Eddie. Like, I think he feels the most like his child counterpart out of all the actors.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
He gave a fantastic performance.
Yeah, and it is a testament both to the younger actor and him, because they both, like, the kid nails it, nails it. And then the adult kind of just does, like, the grown-up version of it, which is great. I'm a big fan. And then Bill Skarsgård comes back as Pennywise the Clown. But you can tell that they maybe spent some more money on the top billing, Jessica Chastain, McAvoy, and Hader, and then the rest of these people are like, who are these people?
Yeah,
like,
I do find it kind of funny that, let me know if we agree or not, but I think that money felt kind of wasted, because I think that other than Bill Hader, I think, like, Jessica Chastain and James McAvoy were some of the weaker parts of this cast.
They just didn't have anything to do, really. Like, it didn't feel like we needed the star power, and maybe it was something from the studio. It was like, hey, we got to get some big names in here to really drum up excitement. Because I think for the first one, they had Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things, and that was probably a big boost.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else. I mean, maybe
the kid from Book of Henry. He played Bill in.
Oh, my God.
In the first part.
Ruined the whole movie for me. It's not about how many commas we have in our bank account. Book of Henry, the scariest movie I've ever seen with that kid in it.
Truly.
By a lot. It's, no pun intended, but where are we going with this? These actors don't really have a whole lot to do, but they are, like, big names. And I wonder, I guess it didn't work to get people into the cinema for the second round if we have such a much lower box office. So I wouldn't, that money is wasted, I probably believe. But you bring back so many of the younger kids too, and they didn't really, but I feel like they're in maybe like 25% of the movie is the kids.
Yeah.
Is that too much, you think?
Probably a little bit less, but there is a decent amount of flashback in this film, which I find I found kind of funny, where it just felt like, oh, we probably should have done this on the first film, but we didn't back then. We didn't know if we were going to get a sequel greenlit or not. So now we're just going to fill in the gaps with flashbacks here.
Right, because the first one did feel like a complete entity.
Yeah.
I think it could have ended there. And obviously they have the whole pact at the end, and we're all like, oh, we know it's going to come back. But
yeah, everybody knows that it is a 1,000-page novel.
Yeah, they're like, wow, they really condensed this.
Yeah.
But to circle back to the pacing, or were you going to say something?
I just wanted to talk about the lack of how they condensed this film compared to the book. But we can go back to the cast. Let's get through that real quick. So I want to talk about Skarsgård again.
Yeah. Okay. I have him. I think he's in my good section. Skarsgård is once again pretty amazing as Pennywise.
Yeah.
And I'd say part of the bad is that there's not really enough of him.
Yes,
he's
I agree.
Not really in it a lot.
Yeah, I think in the parts that he is in feel kind of just, it's almost like they had to meet a jump scare quota where they were like, oh, we haven't spooked the audience in a little bit. We should probably just like show a kid getting eaten by Pennywise real quick. And then they do. And, you know, you get to see Skarsgård flex his, his acting talents. And I do really like that scene with the little girl under the bleachers. Like, I just love when he goes full like Pennywise clown, like friendly clown and silly. And then watching his expression just drop and just him start like drooling as he's staring at somebody. Like,
yeah,
man,
and you can tell him like, oh, he's looking at like a steak.
Yeah,
he's
a creepy motherfucker.
This guy is creepy. And he's so good. Really like locks into it.
Yeah, I love how like it adds so much levity to the menace too. Just like when his entire sequence with Richie, I think is great. And just hearing Pennywise say like, you want to play Street Fighter?
I know your secret, Richie.
Yeah.
Very good, creepy voice. And I like to, because he's terrifying. I mean, I think one of the most terrifying parts in the first one for me is whenever they have these moments of just cutting to that, they're seeing him in the background and they're seeing him. They can't really justify what's going on. Mm-hmm. But there's a scene where Mike, it's after like the rock fight, I think. And Mike like looks to the grass and it's like Pennywise has got like an arm in his mouth or something. And he's just like waving and he's covered in blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, that's terrifying. No explanation, just terrifying imagery.
Yeah.
And we didn't get as much of that. We got a lot more of these little vignettes, which is kind of how the first one was, very similarly. And this is going to the pacing of it, similar to the book, or at least what I've read, is that you have these chance encounters with each character, and then it builds, then they all come together and they discuss, and then they all do something together.
Yeah.
This follows a very similar format, but Pennywise, it kind of rings a little hollow, that because they cut back to the kids a lot. They're like, you have to go face your trauma, and they go, and then they cut like to a scary sequence with the kids, and you're kind of like, I know what happens to these kids. They make it. So no matter what kind of scary stuff you're going to have for me, I know what's going to happen. It's really the adult stuff that is much more terrifying. And I felt like we didn't get as much of that relied completely on what was happening right now in the present. So there was a little bit of a reliance on the past, which makes me wonder. And I wonder, because you've read the whole book, I am about 650 pages in, so barely even half. Do you think that the right way to do this movie is to not have it broken up, the first part, young kids, second part, adults, but to have two movies where it's constantly like switching, like you're getting it more like the book, where you have a little bit with the kids and then you go to the adults and you go piece by piece and start building it back like that?
I mean, I think that is a way to do it. I don't know if that's the better way to do it. Because I think that's one of the fundamental differences between a book and a film or a television show is the reader sets the pace themselves.
Right.
And I think that works for, you know, these like 1,000-page novels that King likes to write. But I don't know if that would work as well as a film or a TV show, like even as a like an It miniseries. I've heard people say like, oh, they should have just done like The Stranger. They should have treated it like Stranger Things and just have it be episodic, so you get more time to delve into these kids and these characters' psyches.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the time jump would have worked very well on screen. And I think I think this movie does a decent job transitioning between the present and the past in mm-hmm. certain points. I think that there's some really solid transitions. Like, you clearly, like, the director clearly thought this out, how it was supposed to look and how it all flows together. But there are
the
other moments.
Scene.
Yeah. And then there are other moments where it's just like a flash of white. And then it's like, oh, they're kids again. I'm like, well, that felt more lazy than anything.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But
so, yeah, we've got that, like, and I think it suffers. The movie suffers from this episodic format a little bit, where it feels in a similar way from the book, I think, mm-hmm. I'd say it's a criticism that you're reading. And then you have parts in the book where they either say, like, oh, what's your story? Or there is a part in the movie where Mike says, we all have to split up and face our trauma pretty much and then come back to the library. And that happens in the book. And because that was the part that I like have left off when I saw the movie. It's like, oh, yeah, they're just going to go like person by person, which is kind of predictable. But then it allows you to really build in what the trauma means, what Pennywise is using to scare these adults.
Yeah.
Which was not always effective because, and that is a criticism of the movie, is that it's not very scary. It's not as scary, I would say, as the first one.
Oh,
which also wasn't that scary.
I agree. And I think this movie feels a lot more like an adventure. And honestly, to me, this movie, just the way it was directed, like the verve it's directed with, it makes me think of the classic Raimi horror comedy films.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the practical effects and like the goofiness.
Yeah, which I had a blast with. And like I think it's, you know, it's definitely a benefit that this film doesn't take itself as seriously. Because when you have stakes this high, and like when you're dealing with, you know, a coked out Stephen King mythology, you know, you can't really take it that seriously.
Right.
What was, oh man, I forget what my original point was going down this rant, but I think to your, like, I'm agreeing with you in that this isn't as scary. And I think that the film doesn't explore the actual trauma of the kids and like these mm-hmm. ghosts that the adults are bringing with them into the present as effectively as the novel.
Right. And especially when it comes to like facing down the trauma at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit hacky.
And some characters at the end of the film, like, you know, like Richie and Eddie, they don't really overcome their trauma at all.
Right.
You know,
they don't have to face anything down until maybe the end where you figure out what they've kind of been dealing with, especially Richie. And man, pivoting to Hader for a second, Hader, what a star making performance. Obviously, Barry has been so amazing, but this is the first like movie where he was really flexing his dramatic chops.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this guy is good. This guy is really fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
He was like outshining McAvoy. I'm like, you know, I don't really believe McAvoy here, but I believe Hader.
Easily. And again, dude, like what once Eddie dies and you just see like you see that raw emotion coming out of Hader. I'm like, oh, this is a real actor. And like,
yeah, like, I knew,
you know,
immediately.
Anybody that's watched Barry, I think, knows this by now. But I'm glad that more people are going to be able to see Hader like in a non-comedic light, even though he is also one of the funniest parts of this movie.
Yeah, he's hilarious. Like, our theater was very much enjoying the movie and all the laughs.
Yeah.
Hader was good. The humor was good. The interplay between Richie and Eddie, very good.
Yeah.
That's honestly a reason enough to see the movie.
Yeah.
I think.
And honestly, just again, the guy who plays Eddie is hilarious. He's great.
Yeah.
And the scene that I always think of, the one that gave me like the thickest belly laugh was when, what's the character's name? The psychotic dude, Pennywise is like thrall.
Oh, Henry Bowers.
Yes, when Henry Bowers shows up in the bathroom, stabs Eddie in the mouth, and then Eddie's just like, he's like still in shock and walks into the shower curtain and just like closes the shower and then stabs him with his own knife. And as he's like sneaking out the door, he's like, it's been 30 fucking years, dude, cut your mullet off or whatever his line is. I was like, oh my God.
He
just goes to the losers and he's like, Henry Bowers is in my bathroom.
Yeah. And that's another part of it that I love, the commitment to going weird in this movie. it's not afraid to be very, very strange in a similar way to the first one, but I feel like it takes it up a notch.
Yeah.
Where the first one was kind of committing to being more scary and using the traditional horror tropes. Mm-hmm. This one gets pretty weird.
Honestly,
Paul Bunyan.
That was great. I love that sequence. Also, like, Andy Muschietti is just, he is great at showcasing scale in films. And I know, like, there are a lot of, like, you know, a lot of things look big, and, like, sometimes filmmakers make things that are expensive but look like they cost, like, $30 million. Muschietti, and the reason I bring this up is because Muschietti is the one who's been tapped to direct the Attack on Titan American adaptation.
And he's in talks to direct The Flash as well.
Ooh, is he? Yeah, I'm 100% down. Honestly, by the end of this film, it felt almost like I was watching a comic book movie. But yeah. I was having a ball.
Especially that with that Harley Quinn, that Birds of Prey trailer.
Oh, so you got that too. Okay. Yeah. I was curious to see if it was just like certain theaters, but
my theater lost it. It was like, we're all like, what the?
Yeah. Well, I saw that, like, what DC, what the fuck are they co-producing it now or something? I was like,
yeah,
oh, okay,
I was very
cool.
Confused. Yeah. The DC cinematic universe has gotten another
cute little
victim.
Way to promote the movie. I wonder if they're going to do more like custom trailers for movies like that. Cause that was fun. But I kind of wish this movie had gotten weirder.
I know you do, because you apparently the ending gets way weirder.
Oh, okay. Speaking of endings, can we talk about how meta that this movie was? All the references to, like, oh, the ending is trash, and then Stephen King himself showing up as the pawn shop owner.
Yeah, like, he's like, yeah, your endings kind of suck.
That was so good, and like King knows how fucked up he was when he wrote this book. And yeah, I'm sure he's aware that, like, yeah, you guys can you can clearly make it better.
Yeah, exactly. And I haven't finished the book yet, so I can't say if they made it better or not. Rob, do you think that they made it better?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think this is a significant improvement over the book's ending. I do wish it was weirder, but I think that I think the book's ending is pretty nihilistic, which I don't think is like the message of this story.
Yeah, because they do make that point in the beginning of, because James McAvoy, Bill Denbrough's character, is a stand-in for Stephen King.
Yeah,
he's a horror writer who's getting his book made into a movie, and they're all like, you got to change the ending. This one sucks. And he's like, everyone wants a happy ending, like, but that's not how life is. And everyone's just like, just change the ending, dude. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is funny to watch.
Oh man, I think that I do think that the what they did to, like, one, I'm glad that they have the ritual of Chud in this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that they actually, like, say it by name. I don't know how I feel about them changing it up as much as they did.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of weird, but I guess, like, sure, you're not gonna reference, like, the greater Stephen King universe. Like, you're not gonna talk about the Macroverse or the turtle. Which was disappointing. I wanted to see
the
that
cosmic turtle.
I wanted to learn about the cosmic turtle choking on a universe. So, because honestly, that's like one of the things that really gives the second half of the book weight is when. Do you mind if I spoil the book for you?
I do mind. Don't
okay,
spoil.
I won't
it,
spoil the
this,
book
this
for you.
This is a movie spoiler podcast.
Okay, you're right. This is
book
not a
spoiler
book spoiler podcast. I won't spoil it for you.
I've already made it 650 pages into this fucking book. Don't take that away from me.
Okay. I won't. But it just it gets weirder. A lot weirder than the
That's
movie
what I've
did.
Heard. There's a general connection to the larger King universe, which they obviously wanted to make this a little bit more self-contained.
Yeah.
I
which
do like,
works.
Yeah. I do like they do include some of the tales from Derry, mainly the opening scene with Adrian Mellon.
Yeah.
The hate crime. It opens with the hate crime, which I've seen some, like, pushback on Twitter.
Yeah,
from
of
people
course.
Saying,
you're going to see pushback for everything on Twitter these days. But it's so the funniest thing to me about this pushback is, did anybody think that Pennywise was a gay ally?
He's not the Babadook, guys.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, everybody was trying to make, like, oh, Pennywise is like the American Babadook. It's like, no, he eats children.
Yeah.
Why do you want that? Why would you want that as an ally?
Right. And they do make a bigger point in the book that he doesn't just kill children. He feeds off hatred and anger and what people are afraid of. And so it makes sense for you know, the kids, I think there's like a line in the book that I actually just read where he's talking to, like, Pennywise is talking to Henry Bowers, and he's like, I can only hurt them if they half believe in me, but you can hurt them no matter what. You're real.
Yeah.
And that's part of, like, you need to be afraid of something. You need to have that fear inside of you. And when, of course, it's going to happen to marginalized people, like, it's, that is going to be way worse, because they're, you know, you have the burning of the black spot in the book. A black nightclub gets burnt down and a lot of people die.
Yeah.
You know, it's alluded to in Mike Hanlon's retro
and you see newspaper
story.
Yeah, you see newspaper clippings of it around the film too.
Yeah. So you have a hate crime for, against black people and a hate crime against two gay men, which it makes more sense in the book that it's happening during the 80s. This one, what I didn't buy, one of the other criticisms I have is that the time update didn't work as well for me, because I'm like, okay, we've got these two gay men in like 2016 in Maine, and I get like bad things happen all the time, and it didn't really, it rang more true in the book for me.
Oh yeah,
that would happen. Obviously shit happens all the time like that, and it's still not over today. But that, and then also alluding back to Richie's homosexuality.
Yeah.
That didn't ring as true.
That he's still afraid to come out like in today's age.
Yeah. It's like, it's 26, like, you're good, dude. Like, we're fine. Especially he's a stand-up comedian. Which it was also a good update.
Yes.
That Richie would not be a successful radio DJ today.
No, he's not a
shock
jockey.
Just be a stand-up. Yeah. Which, yeah, that was really good. I don't know. And Eddie was he's like an actuary.
Yeah.
Instead of running a limousine service. Right, a risk analyst, yeah, which was perfect. That was a really good update.
Yeah.
Other than that, everyone's pretty much the same.
Yeah, minor updates. But I do think that it does feel kind of like, it feels like we were cheated as an audience. Like, I like the update of making Richie gay and him having that secret. But I think you're right in that. It can't be that, I mean, you know, I don't want to speak for anybody, but...
Here we go.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to do it anyway. But I think you're right. I do think that it rings a lot more true in the 80s in the book's original time period, because hate crimes against marginalized groups were significantly more common back then. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, being gay back then could ruin a career, especially if you were in like show business. I think maybe if like... if they'd given more time to Richie's like career, and they were like, if he was like, you know, like a blue collar comedy guy or something
right,
where, like,
if he was Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, if he was fucking Larry the Cable Guy, then coming out as gay, I think, would probably tank his career. But
right,
that's not the vibe I got from his current standing in the movie. So I do think it just felt a little forced and a little bit hollow in the film.
Yeah. And one nitpick is that, so at the beginning of the movie, everyone gets the call, and Richie gets the call and immediately pukes, and it's daylight outside, and then he goes inside to do a stand-up show in the middle of the day. Like, what is going on? Like, in a packed theater?
Yeah, it's
like,
wild,
what the fuck?
Wild time. He's just, that's how famous he is. He's selling out daytime shows.
Yeah. I've got the afternoon show, night show,
the
late night show.
My favorite line is when he's like, I got fucking shows in Reno, man. Like,
it's... Bill Hader, an all-time great. What a good.
Truly, yeah. I wish that we would just get more It, just so we could see more Bill Hader playing Richie.
I think they could do a Netflix miniseries of all like the tales from Derry.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Excuse me. That's a burp.
Or even things that like were alluded to in the books, like, well, the explosion of like the Easter egg factory exploding or whatever it is.
So what my thinking is, I think the prequel to It that is inevitably going to happen is going to be I think it's going to be a like a pilgrim period piece. Because that was originally one of the big segments that they cut from Cary Fukunaga's original script, was showing it really coming, like he started growing in strength and began to successfully feed once the pilgrims came and like colonized the area, and he had, you know, he had fear to feed on instead of just stupid animals.
Deer.
Yeah. Yeah, so I can see, like, you know, it's going to be like, I can see the trailer already, but like, it's going to be witness the origins of it, or like the beginning
it
of
begins.
It. Yeah,
it begins. That's what it's going to be called.
Oh, God.
Where's my $500 million? That's my going rate for this idea.
Yeah.
I'd be down to see that if they got Skarsgård and... But they would give it to somebody shitty. Like, Andy Muschietti is going to be booked up forever.
Yeah.
They're not going to... I mean, they'll get some random person who directed Angel Has Fallen or something.
It's going
like,
to be like,
hey,
what they
do the next It movie?
Yeah, what they did with The Conjuring, where, like, they have the mainline franchise directed by James Wan, and then, like, all the, you know, tie-in shit is directed by these up-and-coming directors who usually are not very good.
Yeah, it'll be like Hannibal Rising.
I forgot that that existed.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah. So fuck you for reminding me that that's a thing.
It's a dumb movie.
Yeah, I believe
Man,
you.
Man, it's stupid.
I believe you.
Yeah.
You don't got to convince me.
Hannibal Lecter versus the Nazis is a good pitch for a movie. But it really didn't come out against the Nazis enough. It was more of a pro-cannibal movie than an anti-Nazi movie, which I think is the biggest flaw.
Truly, if they just balanced that out a little bit more, like it was just 20% more anti-Nazi, 30% less pro-cannibal.
Yeah. So the big question is for this movie, is it too long?
I don't think so.
I think it's maybe 20 minutes too long.
What would you cut?
I'd cut some more of the kid stuff. I would cut... Yeah, it's hard. I'd cut some more stuff out of the end, maybe make some things more implied. Some of like get them all together faster.
Yeah, I think for me, that's if I were to trim it at all, it would probably be with any somewhere in the first act, because I do think that this movie increases in quality significantly once they're all together and once they're interacting with Pennywise again.
Oh, yeah. And then especially like keeping... I cut out the love stuff between Ben and like the weird love triangle shit.
Yeah.
Which doesn't ring very true. Like if you're going to take out the gangbang, then these people should not be attracted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know, like, hot Ben. Like I could not buy that Jessica Chastain would be into this guy other than he's hot.
Yeah. Also,
and they keep
not a
calling back to. Yeah. They keep bringing the poem that he wrote back.
Yeah. January embers.
Yeah, my heart burns there too. Like, yeah, it hit kind of hollow for me, their whole interaction.
Yeah,
especially when they build Bill in, like, first, be like Big Bill.
Yeah, I like how like they have the whole makeout scene with Bill, and then like immediately after she's like, "Oh, you wrote the poem. I love you instead." Like
the power of suggestion, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. So overall, I think this is a good movie. It's entertaining. It's fun that it's an epic, like it is a horror epic.
Yes.
It drags a little bit, but overall, I think it's very enjoyable. And I think people should go see it, especially if they're fans of the first one. Slam dunk. If you're a fan of Bill Hader, even like, and you're fine with a little bit of scariness, go see it.
Yeah. I agree. I think this movie's pretty good. You're definitely going to get your money's worth. And again, there really is no other film, I think, like It Chapter 1 or 2. Like, big budget horror epic. Especially, like, R-rated. Because the budget for the first one was, what, $35 million? Which is...
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. I think, like, standard for a horror film. But this is, like... Again, by the end of this film, I felt like I was watching a Marvel movie.
Yeah,
but I was having
with the production value.
I was having a great time with it, though. I'm like, oh, wow, this is some, like, world-ending shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and the end... yeah, the end battle takes forever, starting with like the ritual of Chud.
Yeah,
which I'm fine. And then after that, it's like, man, it's taking these guys a long time to figure out how to do this, and then they figure out how to do it. I'm like, okay, that's sure.
Yeah,
like they needed to build in more that the clown, that Pennywise gets all of his power from the power that they give it.
Yeah, that felt, it kind of felt just like an easy out at the end.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, we can control him if we just think of him differently.
Right.
Which is not entirely how it is in the book. In the book, it's a little, I think, more of a battle of wits. It's not just like, mm-hmm. you know, they don't all just chant clown at this guy until he becomes a clown and then kill him. Like,
yeah, stupid clown.
Yeah. I do love, though, the...
quick, rip his heart out.
Yeah, that one line where when Jessica Chastain hands the fence post to Eddie, she's like, this kills monsters if you believe it does. And I'm like, you could have done that
you
with
bitch,
a fucking Glock.
You killed him.
No, like, you could have done that with a Glock. Just, like, give him a gun and then tell them that kills monsters. Like, it's the same thing and way more effective.
Eddie uses, like, fire poker. It's mildly effective. Eddie uses Glock 9mm. It's super effective.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, guys, I think I got him. Oh, no, you didn't. Way not.
Yeah, I do think that the ending, I had fun with it, but it is kind of funny how, like, at the end, you have another, like, it's almost like the second act compressed into the final battle where they all have their separate scares again.
Yeah.
And like,
oh, I did like, the three doors.
Yeah.
Like,
that was a fun callback. That was very
not
cute.
Not scary at all. Scary. Really scary.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's the whole thing with the Pomeranian when he's like, well, so what is this true form like a Pomeranian? Like, and then that whole bit, that was great. But again, it felt kind of cheated. Like, it was a great moment. It was funny. But all the other characters are getting like their emotional catharsis. Whereas these, like Eddie and Richie, are just like, fucking around.
Dicking around.
Like,
the comic relief.
Yeah, I did like McAvoy's segment, though. I thought that was cool. Where, like, he confronts Georgie, and he's like,
yeah,
you can try to guilt me for letting you die because I wanted to fake sick and didn't want to play with you, but, like, I have to come to terms with the fact that it's not my fault that I just wanted to stay in one day and let you go out.
Yeah.
Like, nobody could have predicted a killer demon clown in the sewers that day.
Right, and that was the catharsis that rang the most true for me, that felt the most authentic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Beverly's was kind of similar. Like, she went back into the bathroom stall like we were introduced to her in the first movie. Like, okay, that works. Fat Boy's, I think, was kind of funny. I just love that Pennywise kept on calling him Fat Boy over and over again.
Yeah,
like,
Fat Boy. No, I'm hot now. I'm hot.
Yeah. Also, they had that one sequence where, like, Pennywise was carving into him just to show off his abs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, this guy is ripped.
Yeah, that was just to show off his fucking body.
Yeah.
Oh, I really liked, I'm just going like a tirade of small things I loved in this movie, but the Thing reference, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, with, Stan's head.
Stan's head. And then, what's his, is it Richie? When he's just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Like, like, all right, Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Oh, God. Very funny. Yeah. Yeah. No, I was hoping for maybe like a broader Stephen King extended universe.
Yeah.
But of course, I don't. Yeah, it was never going to happen.
Yeah, there's no way. Too many people own the rights to all. Until we get like, until Disney buys up all the rights to Stephen King's books, that's not going to happen.
It makes them all PG-13 horror movies.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's going to happen one day.
You're probably right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this has been a good experience. I left the movie being very fulfilled, and I think people should watch it and have a good time with it.
Yeah.
It's fun. Don't expect something super scary, but it is disturbing and brutal in some points.
Yeah,
but
it's,
overall,
it's definitely. I appreciate the practical effects. It gets there are a couple of jump scares I think they could have cut, but that's not what you leave the theater thinking about. Like, I don't think you're going to leave this movie, you know, scared to go to sleep at night. You know?
Yeah, definitely not.
You're going to leave this movie like, that was a great, like, that was an epic adventure.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, heroes defeating evil. Like,
heroes defeating evil.
Yeah. Fuck the deadlights.
Exact, fuck the deadlights. And speaking of defeating evil, next week, I don't know, we're going to be seeing the female ensemble heist movie. I don't even know what this movie really is.
I think it is a heist.
Stripper heist movie.
Yeah. I think
starring J-Lo and Constance Wu and others.
Yeah.
Lizzo is in this movie.
Is she really?
Cardi B is in this movie.
I knew that. I didn't know Lizzo was in this. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's good.
Bunch of strippers steal money from a Wall Street fucks.
And it's based on a real story.
Yeah.
It's based on a New York Magazine article.
I'm into it. Are you telling me that these strippers pulled off an Ocean's 11, except they're all, like, awesome?
Hell yeah. Well, that's coming up next week. All the nuts out there, you can follow us on Twitter at Viewing Angles and check us out on Spotify and rate us in the App Store and all that other jazz. You can follow me at The Dan Leo Show. And what about you, Rob? How do the people get to you?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at RobertJrJr.
Hell yeah. Well, until next week, nuts.
Bye. Bye. Bye.